It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in Warrington. You can join Eagles fans at the Chickie's and Pizza Terminal E at the Philly Airport before heading to Tampa next Friday for a tailgate at the gate party.
Wow.
Starts at 8 a.m. Nothing better than crab fries and beer at 8 a.m. before you get on the plane.
Maybe a little eggs?
Yeah, a little eggies in there.
Dude, mixing some eggs in the crab fries?
Oh, that is not a bad item.
I don't know. No, I just like the buzz. Buzz is making sure that we had a conversation yesterday about the delegation not being happy with some of the return music.
Oh.
And I'm glad that Buzz got the memo as well
to make sure
that we are still representing well.
Maybe we go day to day. Do we have a delegation on our side or no?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. You get run out of town.
No. You guys, you know, you're good.
Our delegation might be a hate group. I'm just saying.
No, all right. Not everybody.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design. Find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Mark's. Actually, two questions in there.
Yep.
First one. What have you been more disappointed in so far this season for the Eagles, the offense or the defense? The defense at 81%.
Shocking.
There you go. And is Sunday versus the Saints a must-win? What do you think the percentages are on that one, Ike?
I would imagine it's yes.
Yes.
Must-win? Close to 70? Let's go 68%.
Yeah, close. You were close. 63%.
63, man.
Yeah, I think the worry aside from the win-loss record and the potential of going into the bye 1-3 with Tampa the next week, aside from that, it just feels like there's a lot of little sort of iffy signs, non-on-the-field signs so far that you worry about. Well, if things start to go bad, the Devin White thing is weird, right? The Jalen Carter, not playing the first two series, a little weird.
Yeah.
Not just the Devin White not playing, but Vic Fangio saying he's fine, that. The Josh Huff thing, or the Bryce Huff, I keep saying Josh, the Bryce Huff thing, I don't know. The Nick Sirianni getting chippy with reporters after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's a little weird, and I think the biggest concern for me would be if there's that much weirdness after just 1-1 with a last second, loss, mm-hmm. I think the worry would be, oh no, does this start to spiral? Not necessarily that they couldn't come back from 1-2. Plenty of teams have done that,
Yeah, I haven't gotten that feeling yet. Okay. I haven't gotten that feeling yet. And I'm not, I don't have blinders on to it. It's in the back of my mind as well. I've actually been encouraged from what I'm hearing after both games. Jalen last week with the interceptions, taking a responsibility and accountability for it after the Green Bay game. Even the 2-minute drill at the end of Monday night's game. He certainly fessed up and took accountability for that. Saquon, after the game, taking accountability. The whole thing with the Nick Sirianni not speaking, I understand why that may seem interesting to some people. I'm not alarmed by it. I'm not going to say that's nothing or whatever. I'm not alarmed by it. Maybe here's what's difficult. I asked for Jalen to be more of a vocal leader. Ask for Jalen, not when things are going bad, to sit back and internalize and meditate on what he needs to do and try to figure it out and leave everybody else to figure it out on their own. No, I ask him to step up last year and be different. And that's what he did after the first loss of the season. So I can't in turn turn around and be like, oh, why is Jalen speaking after the it's not something he's used to doing. I'm going to try to take something positive out of it and him saying, listen, this on us. This ain't on the coach. This on us. I'll speak to the team. So I don't think he was undermining Nick as much as I think he was just trying to take ownership.
Yeah, I can see that both ways, and I think both things are possible. I was impressed by Jalen speaking afterwards, and then when I talked to Brandon Graham during the Brandon Graham show on Monday, he seemed – very impressed with how Jalen delivered that message.
Right.
I think it's in the context of everything, it feels weird. In the context of the Nick and Jalen stuff,
right.
That, and it's not so much that Jalen did speak, it's more that Nick
didn't speak.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure,
So I don't know what to make of that.
Maybe he didn't want to. after Jalen gives such a
he didn't want to have to
you know he was going to mess it up after, if he goes in afterwards.
So eloquent. Yes.
Yeah.
only the way Nick can.
Yep.
Yep.
215.
You know he was going to ruin the vibe, man.
Yes, for sure.
Unless he was afraid.
215-592-9494.
You got the best there from one.
Andrew and Ben Salem. Andrew and Ben Salem. Andrew.
Andrew, what order are we getting? What are we getting?
Yeah. All right. Put Andrew on hold.
I don't know.
Sean in Florida, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. Really happy to be on the show. I'm one of those callers who rarely calls in but is always listening. So,
appreciate it.
And just to level set the conversation, I'm 42. I've had meet and greet ever since I was,
what do you do for work?
And, yeah, height and weight.
What's that?
Height and weight.
Height and weight, I'm actually a 174. Oh, I'm 5'8".
Okay.
That's not bad.
Athletic,
solid. Solid.
Sounds like Marks.
Yep.
I put you to shame, Crypto Bull God on Twitter. You can check me out. I've commented to you guys. So anyway, there were two really important points I wanted to make. I was going to say, by the way, to Ike Reese, I appreciated his play on the field before you asked me that. I love
service. What was your favorite Ike Reese play?
Favorite Ike Reese play? It's got to be we're gonna skip on that. We'll get back to that one.
All right, yeah.
All right, make your points because we have Nick. But,
whatever happened to Ike Reese?
I just loved his passion. Let's get to
the field. Yeah.
Left it all out there on the field.
They haters, man. Billy guy. To them, man. They haters.
All right. So, first
the
point
delegation.
Is, enough, the first point the that I wanted to make is I've watched enough football. I've watched enough football to know that when you're walking into week three, which is so early in the season, you have a team that just went on the road. They won big. They're feeling full of themselves. And they have a team coming in that's pissed off, quite frankly. They're upset. They're embarrassed. This is setting up for, I mean, I don't know if you want to call it an upset. I'm not going to say which team at this point is better or will be better by the end of the season, but I think this is setting up perfectly for the Eagles to come in here and win a tight one 24-23. I think they'll do the smart thing, try to control the clock, run the ball a lot. I know they have a great run defense on the Saints side, but I think they're going to control the clock. I'm also going to make a bold call and say Bryce Huff's going to make his first sack. Just
all right.
Holding out hope for that.
Only three games into the season.
Well, to be fair, though, Reddick didn't get his first sack till week three.
Okay. Oh, did he have his first? Did he have a pressure? One then, of the first
I think so.
Tackle?
Yes. Okay.
And then the second point, and I'll hop off so that you can get to other callers. But I do want you guys to share your thoughts here. The second point I wanted to make: it's very rare for me to disagree with the Godfather, R. Diddy, but I completely disagree that the call that was made to pass the ball to Saquon Barkley was the wrong call. It was not a passing play. It was a pass play run option with your franchise mobile quarterback, and he made the right decision. It was a great play call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we all agree on
that.
Yeah,
we talked about that yesterday. If Saquon is covered, Saquon is covered, Jalen keeps the ball, and he goes down.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say other than that if you toss the ball to Saquon, he could drop it. Mm-hmm. If you run up the middle, he could get stopped for a 3-yard loss, which I think everyone was fine with who was calling for a run.
They just want the clock to keep running.
Yeah, he could also fumble it. I think you said something on Monday that about that play call that I thought was right on, in that if Saquon had caught that ball, everyone would have said that's what we brought Kellen Moore here for.
Yeah.
In that he designed a play to scheme our best player on offense that day, Saquon, open. And he did something that you do not expect him to do, which in that context is no different than him fumbling or no different than him dropping a toss or something. And, you know, Mike Lombardi said yesterday, well, he's dropped more passes than any other running back. But that still is 5 or 6 a year. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's not a – it's not that – every other time you're throwing it to him, he's dropping it. He is a prolific receiver for a running back.
And so, he's not calling that play saying, Saquon might drop this.
Right. Correct.
He's calling that play. He's calling that play because he feels like, get the ball to Saquon.
Yes. So we know that Ike and Jack do a lot of betting on their app on Sunday, and we're here to, or every day, we're here
yeah,
to help
come on,
you.
Dude. Any day that ends in Y.
Yes, with our expert, Nick Kostos, host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Listen to the You Better You Bet podcast. Search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts. Kostos, how we feeling?
What's going on, guys? Great to be on with you today. Happy Football Friday, and I loved the $26 million drop on Monday Night Football. Absolutely
yeah, yeah.
made my weekend.
You mean
pull your pants up?
Well, how much does Malik Nabers get paid? Because
yeah, listen,
he dropped a winning pass on Sunday, too.
I will freely admit my team's terrible, and it's pathetic, and I admit that okay. I have to take
But he's
pleasure.
Your best player on offense, right?
Nabers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As,
on
and
the
he dropped,
Giants? Oh, my God. No one else is good. He's by far the best player.
And he dropped the game-winning pass.
He did, yeah.
Okay,
but listen,
all right, so
I've been
get out of here.
It's pathetic, but there
yeah,
you
okay.
have it.
All right, okay. How So, you know, this game, the Eagles and Saints – opened up Eagles, I think, -2.5 or -3 and has swung all the way over to the other side. I think part of that was I feel like the -2.5 or -3 was before A.J. Brown got hurt. Whatever it is, it has come to now Saints -2.5 or -3. Which side do you like, if either?
Spike, I just want to say, like, you actually, you nailed that. You're, like, 100% right about everything you said there,
okay.
Including, like, the A.J. Brown being a big part of that, the line swinging towards New Orleans. And I think, you know, I'm going to give you a guess here as to how this game is going to play out. And I think we're basically all guessing with this one. No one really knows how good the New Orleans Saints actually are just yet. But what I can tell you guys is, just from a betting perspective, and like we can remove like the Eagles fandom for 1 second and just think about the Saints, right, this season. We see this every year in the NFL where there is a team, and this could be negative also, but in this instance positive, like wildly exceeds expectations early in the season, and the betting market kind of doesn't know what to do with this team. And the example that I'll give you with this game is, though New Orleans has been bet out to a favorite, they are existing in this zone where this point spread is 2.5, but it's really, really close to being Saints -3. 3 is the most important number when we talk about betting in the National Football League. And every time the number hits 3, the Saints become a 3-point home favorite, immediately resistance comes in and people bet the Philadelphia Eagles, like grabbing the important number of 3. So that tells me that people are really unsure about what we're going to see on Sunday, because I wouldn't be surprised if when the game's over, the Eagles win. And we say, well, the Eagles were better coming into the year, and people could say what they want about Nick Sirianni. He's a better coach than Dennis Allen. And I don't think anyone would be surprised if the Eagles won this game. I also don't think, seriously now, and even like the Eagles fans with the most green-colored glasses would have to admit, in a game without A.J. Brown here, where I think they're up against it a little bit defensively against the Saints offense with an actual competent offensive coordinator, would it really be that surprising if the Saints won the game by 10 points? Like, if the Saints won the game going away.
I don't think anyone would be surprised with either of those, you know.
Right? So yeah, I think it makes it, Spike, a really difficult game to bet. My instinct is, I think that, you know, if the Eagles were fully healthy and A.J. Brown's playing, I feel a little differently. He's not playing. I do like the Saints in the game. The way that I would play it, and not like your audience like wants to bet against the Eagles, but it would be to play alternates. Like, lay 9.5 with the Saints at plus money. If you think the Saints are going to win. Because if they win, I think they might dominate. But I am guessing on this game on Sunday.
Yeah, I think a lot of, you know, on the Saints, I think there's a lot of people saying, well, this can't be real, can it? And until we see more than two games, I think that's how people are going to feel about the Saints. You know, so I hear that. So what are your best ones? By the way, you know, everyone has wins and losses. Your Raiders call last week was a solid one.
Yeah.
The Raiders plus the points over the Ravens. So what are your three best ones this weekend?
All right, so three best. And by the way, don't be surprised when the Saints offensive coordinator, Clint Kubiak, is a head coach in the NFL next season, like doing an unbelievable job with the Saints offense. All right, three best bets in the NFL this weekend. I guess I can't really do Titans-Packers just in case Jordan Love plays, but I'll say this. If Jordan Love does not play for Green Bay, I don't think he's going to. The betting market says he's not going to play. So for people that play fantasy, you're a football fan, whatever, he practiced again today in a limited fashion for the Packers. Initial report said he wouldn't be back until week 4 or week 5. I guess there's a chance he plays on Sunday on the road in Tennessee. The betting market, though, says he's not going to play. Tennessee is close to being a 3-point home favorite. If it's Malik Willis, and if we get confirmation that it's not Love, it's Malik Willis, Titans at any number below 3, -2.5, I think is a strong bet. Green Bay will not be able to run the ball on this Titans defensive front. front like they did last week against Indianapolis. So Titans under 3 at home against the Green Bay Packers if Malik Willis is going to start. To Minnesota, give me the Houston Texans minus the 2 on the road at the Vikings. And I love the Vikings this season. I actually think, for people that like to bet awards, Kevin O'Connell should be the favorite in this market right now for Coach of the Year. Like, he might win this award at season's end. But the point spread being what it is, Houston minus 2 in a game with a reasonably high total, if you bet the Vikings, you need Sam Darnold to win this game. And he's been really good. I'm not trying to hate on Sam Darnold. The Texans are better. Stroud's better. I'll take the Houston Texans, and I will lay the small number on the road. So give me Houston on the road at Minnesota. And I'll give you, how about this, 2 on Monday Night Football, both in the Monday Night Football doubleheader. Number one, the Jaguars to cover the 5.5 on the road in Buffalo, and I think the Jaguars might win that game outright. Kitchen sink game for Jacksonville, has to win. Like, Doug Peterson's job might be on the line here, so Jaguars to cover, and then 7.5 or better. Give me Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. I watched every snap of that game last week against my Giants. Daniels is the real deal. Commanders plus 7.5 to cover the spread Monday night in Cincinnati.
You have a prop for us, the prop king, Nick Kostos?
Yeah.
You gave us DeVonta Smith. I think it was over 59.5 yards.
And a Wandale Robinson anytime touchdown last week.
Yep. So what do you got for us?
The numbers moved up a little bit, my sense, and no one in your audience is going to want to bet this, but like, this is...
Disagree.
So
there's two of us that will.
Yeah, and by the way, Nick, what you got to understand is Philadelphia is a big emotional hedge market.
Okay.
So we will bet against our team with no problem, actually.
Okay,
so what do you got?
So this will move in between now and kickoff, and I want to be careful because nothing's a lock. Like, bets can lose, the player can get hurt, anything can happen. I feel really good about this one. So because the Saints games, the first two games of the season, have gone the way they have, the offense has been really concentrated through Alvin Kamara and Rashid Shaheed, right, who's had a couple explosive touchdowns already this season. We have seen Chris Olave, shout out to Dean Martin. We've seen Chris Olave, his statistics suffer the first two games of the season. Like, against this Eagles secondary, with their lack of a pass rush thus far, with the way the Saints are running offense, I think this profiles as a big Chris Olave game. 61.5 is the number for Olave receiving yards. Let's go over that number coming up on Sunday against the Eagles.
Well,
what do you think about Kelsey in the booth?
I mean, like, it's fine. Like, he's really entertaining, and it's awesome. Just like
you could be honest.
What I said was, it felt like I was, and I love WIP. Like, you guys are great. It felt like we were watching WIP. Like, it was an Eagles homer broadcast.
What's the problem?
You lost. you lost.
They're winning in the third quarter.
They were winning in the third quarter. But, I mean, look, you guys can be honest, right? Let's say it were Eagles. I don't even know who it would be. Like, here's, like, Roddy White in the booth for the third quarter or something.
Or Ike.
Who would like that? Who would want that? Who wants that?
Yeah, well, I mean,
nobody.
We're lucky we have one of the most prolific media personalities that happen to be a Philadelphia Eagle. The world loves him. Nick.
And he's
Sexy
great.
Dexy will do it in 15 years.
Maybe not. He's great on ESPN. He's awesome already. He's an awesome broadcaster already. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Can we stop talking about Jason Kelsey like he's a combination of Michael Jordan and Tom Cruise? Like, it's not that interesting.
Pretty close.
Like, the nation doesn't care that much. I promise.
There it is.
There he is. We love you, Nick. There he is. I appreciate you, brother.
Can I hit you with 20 seconds baseball? 20 seconds. Promise.
Yeah.
So yesterday on you guys will like, Jack will like this. So went through. Like, I'm trying to think about the baseball playoffs already. The teams in each league that I think can actually win the World Series, I came up with 2 in each league.
Okay.
In the NL, the Philadelphia Phillies are one of those teams. And in the American League, unfortunately, my New York Yankees are not one of those teams. So we'll see what happens when the regular season ends coming up next Sunday.
Wow. What are the Phillies to win the World Series? They're like plus 600 or something, last time I looked?
I think they are. If they're not the favorite, they should be because...
In the National League, but I mean to win the World Series. I don't think the Dodgers are the favorite in the
National
League.
The Dodgers should not be the favorite. They will not win one postseason round.
In fact, they won't win one postseason round?
Their pitching's horrendous.
Okay.
I don't care who they play in the NLDS. I will bet against them, and I will feel I could lose the bet, and I'll feel they have no starting pitching, none, zero. How are they winning the World Series?
I don't know. I know last time I looked, I don't think I've looked for a few days, but I think the Dodgers were minus 235 or plus 235 in the National League. And
they are plus 165. I have it up here. The Phillies plus 240. I mean, God
to win the National League.
Like, Phillies, I mean, I would have a large bet on the Phillies in a postseason series against the Dodgers.
There you go.
Tone it down a notch.
Yeah. There he is. Appreciate you, brother.
You guys and all your listeners, Ben Mulsweats, Winnie Betts, the absolute very best of luck.
There he is. Nick Costos, host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider Call is presented by BetMGM. Go and check out all the latest lines at the BetMGM app. We have a lot to talk with Elliot about next. Want to ask him about Vic Fangio's answer yesterday regarding Devin White and special teams and what he took from that. Mm-hmm. Whether C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who all of a sudden is injured but said at practice today, see you Sunday, what that means. So we will talk to Elliot Shore Parks next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.